and one textbook called it one way, another textbook called it the other way. I'm pretty sure it's moving a little bit more towards PEPH diagrams, which is this first one up here. So it's the same as before. We've got PE on the y-axis, indicating what's going on in the redox chemistry. pH on the x-axis, telling us about the acid-base chemistry. We put the stability of water lines in, indicating oxidizing conditions up here, potentially generating oxygen, reducing conditions down here, potentially generating hydrogen. Now, these are specific for a system where people have gone through and they've put all of the potential concentrations into a model, and they've calculated where the species will be precipitating out of solution. So in this diagram then, which is for an iron, carbon dioxide, carbonate water system, we're now saying that here we've got amorphous iron hydroxide precipitating as a solid between this pH and that pH, between this redox potential and that redox potential. As soon as we drop the redox potential down to here, okay, at that pH where it would be precipitating here, the species now dissolves and turns up as iron 2 plus. It's now solubilized. So down in this tiny zone down here, between 4 and 5, we can see that we've got iron carbonate solid. Up here we've got an iron hydroxide species between C and D. So what I'm going to ask you to do here is I would give you one of these stability field diagrams. I would give you chemical information that would pinpoint one part of that diagram, and I would ask what species would be present. Okay, so again, it's just you having a feeling for oxidizing reducing conditions, acid-base conditions, so that you put yourself on the right place on the diagram. Now this comes up, I'm trying to remember, is it in the first test? I think it might be. Yeah, so it's not far away. Deficiencies. First one, as I said, you use concentrations to develop the diagram or use activities to develop the diagram, but they're not in there. There is no third dimension where the concentrations explicitly go in. And therefore, equilibrium conditions, and in a creek, for instance, you've got inputs and outputs. It's a dynamic system. And so quite often you never actually hit chemical equilibrium because the things that, you know, if that hung around for a little bit longer would have gone to equilibrium, just shot off down the creek. So those are major deficiencies. These are equilibrium diagrams, and there are no concentrations or activities on them. If you want to see some more of these diagrams and how they're developed, then Stuhlmann, Morgan, Morell and Herring, both of those have got these diagrams in them. Plenty of math to develop them, but I'm not going to ask you guys to develop them. It's just how you use them, that's all. The geochemistry boys, they like these diagrams a lot. So if you're doing the geochemistry subject at any stage, you will get to see these again. Onto the diagrams as well. If I'm giving you one of these diagrams, the stability of water lines will be there, but you're going to have to tell me that that's what's there. You have to tell me where oxidizing and reducing conditions are on the diagram. The other thing that can be overlaid is I'll ask for potential natural pH ranges. Okay, so that's flicking back a few lectures.